listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends in Christ, I am going to liken every single one of you today, every single one of us, to the older brother. How many of you actually are older siblings? Just a show of hands. Oh, okay, we've got some that are, okay, good. Good, well today everyone is the older sibling, the older brother. Usually I would have you always put yourself into these stories. That's always a good idea when we read scripture. You know, who do you identify with the most? Which characters in these Bible stories, which words, which predicaments best fit your current situation? But today I'm just going to tell you, for a change, I'm going to tell you, you're the older brother, friends. Why? Because you're here at church. Good for you. Good church people, you got up. Maybe you didn't want to come today, maybe you did, but here you are, you dutiful church people. Congratulations. You're the older sibling. Now, maybe there have been times, certainly, in your life when you have identified more with that reckless younger brother. And I'm sure many of us can relate to the father in this story as well. Although we are reminded by theologians and preachers that none of us can truly be the merciful parent in this story. I think that's a good bit of wisdom. Ultimately, and the point of the story is that only God can be that merciful parent. Even if you have rejoiced at a child's long-lost homecoming or struggled through the pain of a loved one's reckless behavior, as this parable goes, only God is the parent in this story. So we're either the older or the younger brother. Today, you're all the older brother because you're here in church. And because we can all relate to bitterness, right? Hard-heartedness. Hard, diligent workers that you are through the years. That's particularly true in this area. You are hard-working people here. And you have been all these years here at the church, here in Northern Virginia, here in these communities. These are hard-working, older brother-type people, men and women here. You're doing the right thing all the time. And you're wanting everything to be fair. I know I am. I want things to be fair. There's a word that we need to hear, all of us, from God this day. Again. And that word is mercy. Mercy. Luke is the mercy book. This is the book of mercy. So quick recap of this famous story. You probably know this by heart, but let's just retell it a little bit. This little brother, Bradley, if that's a word, Bradley demands his share of the family inheritance. And this kind of thing was so offensive. It's a lot of offensive things that happen in this story. But for a younger brother to demand his share of the inheritance before the fathers died, I mean, that would have gotten a clear gasp from that crowd as Jesus told that story. Who would do that? Nobody would do that. It was so inappropriate. It was so rude. It was so selfish. Right there, all he did was make that ask, not to mention what he does with this share of the inheritance. He goes out, he blows it all, until he arrives at this scene with the pigs. And that, of course, couldn't get any worse. You couldn't be any lower than that. That is hitting rock bottom. And let's not forget, in a Jewish audience, for a Jewish audience to be with pigs, you know, swine, you don't touch pigs at all, much less eat with them in the pig pen. But that's where this young man found himself, with these defiled, unclean creatures. Another gasp from the crowd. But there in that pig pen, he comes up with this plan. I know what I'll do. I'll get up, I'll go to my father, I'll say to him, Dad, I've sinned against heaven, and before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. And so he sets off. This is interesting. I kind of pored over the Greek this week looking for this. I thought that's where he repents. There's no word for repentance there in Greek. We can read into it, maybe you do, maybe you read into the fact that maybe he's repented at that point, but I don't see that. And that's pretty typical in Luke's gospel. You'll have this Greek word metanoia, which means to make a 180, just to make a turn. I don't see that word here. I don't see any sign of repentance. He just has a plan. The closest that we get to maybe repentance, it says, when he came to himself. And scholars have lots of great discussion on what that can mean. Everything from when he discovered who he was supposed to be. That's quite an interpretation into that little phrase. When he figured out who it is God is calling him to be. And there's nice essays about that, what that means in the pig pen when he sort of comes to himself and discovers. Everything from that to simply when he sobered up. I am convinced, especially given the two parables that precede this one, didn't read that today, but this, of course, is the third of three parables. The first one is about the lost sheep. Lost sheep are stupid, right? Anybody ever been around sheep? They're dumb. Then there's a parable about a lost coin. Now, a lost coin isn't dumb, but it's just inanimate. It's dead. So you have stupid and dead. Given that, I am convinced that this son is pretty much in those categories here. Plus, I see that he is unrepentant, and maybe he's even preparing to manipulate his father all over again. Here's what I'll do. I'll say this to my dad. He's rehearsing his lines like an addict. Like an addict says, just to get the next hit. He's a reckless, self-centered, lost, worthless son. That's the image here, friends, that Jesus is so vividly painting in this story. I've got a painting in my office of this text. I posted it on Facebook this morning. It's beautiful. John August Swanson, beautiful artist. I love that painting, but it's way too beautiful for what's really happening in this story. It's a nice reminder. It's a teaching point. I point to it all the time when I'm visiting with people in my office about God's grace, but it's way too beautiful for what's happening here. This kid is lazy, dangerous trash. And that intentional buildup for the rest of us who are far from lazy, dangerous trash, this is this buildup for us. We're sitting here listening to this, just getting madder and madder. Maybe you've been in the pig pen at one time or another in your life, but friends, you're here now. You're here at church on Sunday. Good for you. You're the oldest son today. And I don't even think I have to paint a picture or tell you to imagine the father lavishing mercy on this deadbeat, mooching, manipulative, robbing younger brother. You know, you've seen this. One commentator reminds me, and I'll share with you, that the fatted calf that the father slaughters and the ring that the father gives to this younger son and the robe that he throws over him, this is all stuff that actually, think about it, if he gave half of the inheritance to the younger one, all that stuff is the older brother's. That older brother's like, that's my ring. That's my cow. That's my beautiful robe. What are you doing throwing it on him? Everything else belonged to the older brother here. So there is much to be bitter about here. Think of all the bitterness that you've carried in your life, friends in Christ. Maybe you're carrying bitterness now. That's the whole project of this Lenten season, isn't it? We kind of move closer to the cross as we live out our Lenten days in the shadow of the cross. We're called to bring this stuff to the altar, to the cross of God in the season once again. Ever been jealous when an act of compassion was directed at someone else or a group of people who you didn't think deserved it at all? Older siblings? Why should they get that? They haven't done anything to earn or deserve this. Why are they getting that? I mean, it just thinking about it gets me angry. Why should my deadbeat sister, my lazy brother, my mean, my cruel neighbor, why should my late arriving coworker, my corner cutting employees, why should all those other members of this church or this Lutheran family or this Christian faith, why should that other side of our community, why should any of those robbing, cheating, lazy, ungrateful, dishonest, manipulative, spoiled other people, and in those days that was the Samaritans, sort of summed up Samaritans, why should any of them get the fatted calf slaughtered for them and a party thrown in their honor? What honor? When I haven't even gotten so much as a small goat. Goats didn't have any meat on them. Nothing. God, it is hard to be gracious, isn't it? God, give us this gracious and merciful heart as we look out at our world. So we live in these days. I think this is really a story about the lost older son. Because we know how this is going to turn out for the younger one. By the time we get to this third story here, we know what's going to happen here. First, it's the lost dumb sheep. Then it's the lost dead inanimate coin. So we know what's going to happen here to the lost younger son. He's going to be found. They're going to all get parties thrown for them. The real gift, the real twist of this third story for us today is the way that the father treats the oldest. You. And this is what God says to us too. Us too, us dutiful people, us good church folk. Here's what God says to us too. You are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. Let that soak in these days. We are always with God. God has always got us, always had us, always will. Since you were in your mother's womb, God has held you in love, grace, mercy, and peace. Even you. All that I have is yours, God says. God has entrusted everything, this whole earth, to us. God's just handed it over to us to manage it as we will, to take care of it. I guess you could say the planet is our family farm. God's handed it to us. God's entrusted it to us. This is stewardship, by the way. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. Because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and he's been found. Come inside. Leave the bitterness outside. Come on in and join the party, God says to us too this day. Us older siblings, all of us who are here this morning. Come inside. Join the party. Friends in Christ, God invites us out of our hard-heartedness. For we too can get lost in that. Christ calls us out of our bitterness. Pay attention to when you're feeling bitter this week. And remember, God's calling us in. Come on, leave that. God calls us like the Father in this story to celebrate and rejoice. This grace is amazing, which means it's for everyone. Everyone, everyone. It is for the healing of the nations. It is for the breaking down of barriers that divide us. It is for the joining of hands and hearts of sisters and brothers who are different, even at odds. This grace is amazing, which means that it is for everyone. It is for you. It is for me. It is for the lost and the lonely, the broken and the bitter, the angry and the afraid. This grace is for all, friends in Christ. Thanks be to God, for we have been found. Amen.
On behalf of all of us, us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.